up. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones is in for Rich, who's doing jury duty, his civic duty. And I heard you last night, Adam, and you were talking about Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And there is no debating. I mean, statistically, it's true. He has been extremely mediocre this season, if you look at his numbers statistically. And you raised an interesting question, was when was the last time that the Patriots were a championship team with a mediocre quarterback, a mediocre Tom Brady? And you raised the stakes a little bit, and you started saying, what if other people are quarterbacks of this team? Now, what is your feeling on the chances? Explain your theories on Tom Brady's mediocrity.
So just quickly, I know everybody thinks this is super negative, but it's just...
No, but it's factually accurate if you go by
It's
statistics.
The way it's been. So Brady this year, completion percentage. If you just look at the raw numbers, you're like, wow, he completes 66% of his passes. The whole league's doing that. Like, points are up. Quarterback play has been up, and I've been very critical of quarterback play over the last few years, but it's been good this year. He's 21st in the NFL in completion percentage. He's 9th in yards. He's 12th in yards per attempt. If you don't care about yards per attempt, that's one of the things that is in his contract for a $1 million incentive. He's tied for 14th with 20 touchdowns. Just for perspective, he's tied with Mitchell Trubisky for 20 touchdowns, 14th in the NFL. He's 17th, tied for 17th in picks. He's 16th in quarterback rating. So just... any way you slice it, he's been mediocre this year. And I guess that could change in the final month of the year. Sure, it could change. But unless he elevates his play, they're going to have to, I don't know, win on defense or win with Sony Michel in the running game. And I just don't know that as currently constituted, you can win or you can overcome Brady's mediocrity. Like, when's the last time they won a championship when Brady was this type of quarterback, not an MVP candidate, but this type of quarterback?
0-1.
I think it's definitely 0-1. Maybe
0-3.
Maybe I'd give you 0-3. Maybe.
No, it's definitely 0-1.
I think 0-1 is the real answer, but if you wanted to say 0-3, fine, whatever. We're still talking a lot. We're still talking 15 years since they've done that. So can they do it the way they're currently playing? I don't know. Maybe they turned a corner on defense this weekend against Minnesota. Maybe, but that feels more like a one-off. I'd love to see him do it on the road.
Yeah, the last four games, only Pittsburgh really has the high-powered offense. So, I mean, it's not a fair assessment. You have to look and see, okay, can they slow that Kansas City offense around down enough? Can they slow down Houston? Can they slow down? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That defense, I've never been sold on Jason McCourty, although, you know, the advanced metrics tell you that he's playing a lot better.
The advanced metrics say he's the seventh best corner in the NFL.
Yeah, they have Gilmore as number one, by the way.
Right, which is one of those things like UZR. Like, how the hell can you possibly figure that out?
Right. Pro Football Focus does this every week. I don't know how you grade every player every play.
First of all,
it.
Like, find a cure for cancer. Second, I mean, like, what do you, like, you have someone watching every player,
apparently.
Like, every play.
Apparently, and then you tell us with a straight face that system that you put into place spits out Jason McCourty as the seventh best.
Guard play. How do you do that? I mean, it's amazing.
And especially, like, in a secondary, like, when is he getting help? Is there pressure on the quarterback?
Help over the top should not be nearly as high a score.
Yeah, what about the quality of the receiver? Is the receiver dinged up? I mean, there's no way to quantify that. And that drives me insane. I won't look at it. That I just heard someone talking about it.
I think it's fun. You know, you have we're going to give him a 63.8.
I just think
no idea what that means.
It's just one of those things that I go, like, there's global warming.
Yeah.
like take all that time.
Use this power for good.
Right. Yes. You're obviously like a bright person.
Mm-hmm.
And with the ability to sit and go over minutia for quite a few hours. Use this for the good of humanity.
But to the larger point, Jones, I agree with you. The offense is fully healthy now. Everybody's there. And they seem to be getting yards. I mean, they're running up yards here. I mean, they had almost 500 yards against a top five defense, but it wasn't Brady who was leading them. I mean, Brady had over 300 yards, but did it feel that way?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. You're used to Brady throwing deep, pretty much picking out receivers at will.
Yeah,
you're used to Gronkowski running through the secondary down up the seam. This is an entirely different way of doing things.
I think Phil Perry had the stat. He only threw five passes over 10 yards in
the
game.
Yeah, that's going back to 01, by the way. That's exactly what they were doing 17 years ago. I mean, Charlie Weiss is doing it with smoke and mirrors. Remember that game against Indianapolis when David Patton threw a touchdown pass to Troy Brown, or maybe it was the reverse? But that's what they were doing. That's how they were scoring points. And a lot of people thought that was a gimmick offense that would work in the playoffs, and it worked. But here we are 17 years later. We're used to seeing Brady lead this offense down the field and not be scared by anything. Now you see Bill Belichick playing it conservative last 2 minutes of the half when he's inside his own 20 running the football. It's a different world out there, and I don't know if the defense is going to hold up like this in the playoffs against more high-powered offenses. Whatever you see in the last 4 weeks of the season is not what you're going to see once you get to the higher powered teams in your conference.
And by the way, in the offseason, if you're looking to improve in terms of offensive weapons, I mean, go take a look at a mock draft. Oof. Skill position players.
Right.
No. Not from what I've seen.
No.
Bad in the mock drafts. I got to be honest, I'm a big mock draft fan. Haven't really
Bosa,
gotten
right. It's all
defensive line.
Yeah, Bosa's the supposed overall number one.
It's all tackles and ends, and then there's a few offensive linemen.
And the quarterbacks, no one can decide on.
So they got a kid from Oregon.
Herbert from Oregon.
So the quarterbacks I'm well-versed in, but I know that people like the receiver at Oklahoma who just, like, he's cousins with Antonio Brown, who just busted up his foot.
Yeah.
I don't know what there is skill position wise.
Yeah.
But there's no running back like Saquon Barkley.
No.
From what I've seen, there's not a lot. I'll look at a mock draft right now, but
in the end, Jones, I think you're right about this. This is a different kind of animal, and we've complained about the Patriots before, that defense that was just bottom five in the league. They made the Super Bowl that year. And we're thinking, how in the world can they get by with that kind of defense? And they do it. They've done it all sorts of different ways, but Tom Brady has always been the constant. He's able to gloss over all those mistakes. So I don't know if he's that guy. He's still really good, but he has to be that extra step unbelievable to gloss over whatever mistakes that are there on the team. And I don't know if he's that extra step this year.
Right. So, I mean, look, I mean, if he elevates his play, if you're telling me he's going to elevate his play, fine. I don't know most 41-year-olds who do better as the year goes on, when the weather turns and when the competition gets tougher. Maybe he will.
And not having Gronk, and I think we've had this discussion on the show the last week, I think what you see out of Gronk now is basically it. Unless they don't play him now and rest him for the playoffs, and then he'll be good for that first-round game, but after that, you don't know what you're going to get in the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl after that. What you see out of Gronk now, I think, is what you got. I mean, he's not a 7-catch, 120-yard, 2-touchdown guy anymore. Well, and blocking has been a problem for him. So this is, and that's the other thing. Gronk has always been there for the most part to gloss over a lot of mistakes that this team might have. I mean, they won a Super Bowl without him, but for the most part, you've had Gronkowski there to help out a lot in the passing game.
By the way, if you want to get excited about the draft next year, McShay has his top 32 prospects. The first skill position player is at 29th at the tight end, and the next one is 31st, tight end from Alabama.
No backs, no receivers?
And the first receiver or running back on the board is at 32, and it's the kid from Ole Miss.
Wow.
A.J. Brown.
Who just declared yesterday. So are there quarterbacks on there or no?
There's one kid from Oregon.
Kid Herbert,
who's got to be in the top 10 somewhere.
Yeah, and he might not even come out.
Oh, I thought that was a foregone conclusion.
He's got him at 19.
Jesus. He's got him at 19. Yeah, if he's going to go, I mean, he might not come out. But most of the guys come out. Irrelevant.
I mean, he's going to come out. I think next year is supposed to be a better class. It goes Bosa, corner, inside linebacker, defensive end, tackle, defensive tackle. Offensive tackle, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, defensive end.
This is Belichick's kind of draft,
defensive tackle, safety, quarterback, defensive tackle, outside linebacker, QB, outside linebacker,
QB.
Defensive tackle. No, that's the QB.
Oh.
There's a kid from Boston College, Zach Allen.
Hey.
Sitting right there at 22. All right, so when we come back, we'll talk to Will Brinson.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We have Will Brinson on the line. Can I get a one sheet on him, please? Andy, hello.
I'm here.
Yeah, you're on with Adam Jones.
All right, Jonesy, listen. Now, if you're going to go by calling Tom Brady a mediocre,
quarterback this year.
Well, that's what the stats call him. Right. That's what he's been, statistically a mediocre quarterback this year. I'm not saying he's mediocre in his career this year.
This year, right?
Yeah.
But
yes.
Who's he throwing the ball to? Where's Hogan? Where's Dorsett?
Do you think the weapons are bad?
I think they're bad? I don't think they're bad. They're non-existent.
Okay, I would disagree with that. If you want to tell me they're a downgrade from last year, I'd tell you you're right. They're not non-existent. Those are good weapons still.
Okay, but why aren't they being targeted? What was Dorsett's stats last week against Minnesota?
Well, I don't know. They went out and traded for Josh Gordon. It gave Brady an asset. They went out and traded for Josh Gordon and buried Philip Dorsett on the depth chart. So that sounds like a coaching problem, not a talent problem, or a personnel decision problem.
When you want to talk stats. Look at the field. Now, Minnesota is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yep.
Yet we scored 24 on them, and we had a Gronk that looked like, playing, I don't even know what was wrong with him. And then you have Gordon, who's actually stepping up finally. And then who else? Hogan? Edelman's playing on a bad foot. So you go through the whole year with these stats, but he's not really – he's got nobody.
Yeah, I just disagree. I mean, he's got Gronk, he's got Edelman, and I agree, neither of those guys are vintage themselves. He has Josh Gordon. Hogan's a good third or fourth guy. They drafted a running back in the first round. James White is good. They just got Burkhead back. It feels like they have weapons. Again, if you want to tell me they're a downgrade from last year, fine, but they have weapons.
No, I don't think they're a downgrade. I think they've been, with Burkhead getting hurt, I think Sony Michel is an upgrade. I think he's the most underrated running back there is.
Okay, all right, well, now you're getting it. You're contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
Wilbrin said, I just like that people get mad at him, and I just put him on.
Oh, sure.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com, joins us every Tuesday during the NFL season. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. Hello, Mr. Brinson.
No wonder you guys have such a popular radio show. I could listen to that all day.
Well, listen, you can listen to Adam Jones every night. This is not usually how our show goes. Yeah, thank you for undercutting on us with a backhanded compliment.
I meant more than I never heard a caller. I don't think I'd ever heard like a local Boston like morning time sports caller. And he's like, I can't believe these weapons. It's unbelievable. We got Gronk, Edelman, and Gordon. What are we supposed to do here? Here's how it works: is Gronk, they're trying to save Gronk for the playoffs because they know he's got a little bit left in the tank. Gordon's getting acclimated to the team. Edelman is a 30-year-old coming off an ACL tear. James White is a receiving back. Sony Michel is banged up. They're trying to limit the exposure that these guys have to injury and just grind out some wins and get that bye and get to the try and make a run at the Super Bowl. It's not that complicated.
But I think Gronk had he had more snaps than anyone on the team except for Tom Brady last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
That is unusual and surprising.
Yeah, so I don't know quite what they're doing with him, and it's odd. It's odd to watch him play, and I wouldn't imagine that he's playing next season. So we'll see. All right, Kareem Hunt, what's the deal with this? Is anyone going to go out on a limb here? He cleared waivers. First of all, let's talk about the waiver process. What did you hear about teams and teams being interested in picking him up on waivers?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely interest and people thought about it, but, the Redskins sort of screwed this up for everybody else who might have been willing to take a chance and put in a waiver claim and just say, we're just saving it for 2019. When the Redskins went and got Reuben Foster, it got everybody heightened senses, so to speak, as it pertained to guys with off-field issues related to domestic violence. And as such, I don't think the teams were willing to take the gamble on claiming Hunt because, if you're a bad team, you don't want to do it because you're already a bad team. You're having a bad season. The last thing you need is, a siege of media and fans complaining that you signed a guy who there's videotape of, going after a woman in a hotel room. And then for the good teams, you know, he's not going to play this year. He's going to be on the commissioner's exempt list. If for some reason, like the NFL is not going to work fast enough where the suspension gets put into place this season, and even if it did, he would almost certainly, I think, given the number of incidents he's dealing with, be suspended through the playoffs. So if your team's trying to make a run to the Super Bowl, I don't think the trade-off there is worth it. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we may have reached a point where NFL teams are willing not to take the PR hit that comes with grabbing one of these guys. But I think he might have been claimed had Reuben Foster not drawn the ire of the public and the media.
All right. I honestly don't know. I know Kareem Hunt is a very good back, but how much do you think this affects Kansas City and their chance of making the Super Bowl?
I think it actually affects them a pretty substantial amount. I mean, we'll have to see how they look this week when they play the Ravens, who are a good defense. I think it's tough to definitively, you know, pinpoint anything in that Raiders game because, you know, the Hunt incident, the videotape was released on Friday, right? And he was released on Friday, and then the Chiefs had to play on Sunday, and they looked a little discombobulated. Spencer Ware's, you know, a poor man's version of Kareem Hunt. He's not as explosive, not as dynamic in the passing game, and they just weren't as – I thought Damian Williams looked like their best running back on Sunday. So they're just not the same team because they don't have that explosive, you know, ability out of the backfield, catching passes, being a three-down back. I don't think they're the same, but – you know, I mean, Andy Reid's a smart offensive guy. He could certainly rejigger things and put things in place, and they could look sharper this week and then next Thursday against the Chargers. I just thought they looked a little off kilter, and it might have just simply been the timing. But I think there is something to the idea that losing Kareem Hunt will hurt them offensively.
You mentioned the Chiefs are playing the Ravens this week. Lamar Jackson's 3-0. John Harbaugh may be coaching for his job. I'd imagine Lamar Jackson has that job, certainly at least until they drop a game. Is the way he's playing, like in today's NFL, is that sustainable?
I don't think what they're doing with him right now is sustainable, and I think they know that. If you look at the teams that they played, right, the timing for Lamar Jackson being put under center is pretty convenient. I think with the Buccaneers and the Falcons, the Bengals, they had this run of really bad defenses, and it's coming up with the they think of the Chiefs coming up as well. I think they understood that they could put Lamar Jackson under center, operate this sort of quickly cobbled together read option RPO type of offense, and that they could win games, and that their offense would improve, and it has. I mean, their rushing numbers are through the roof. And it's because Lamar Jackson's running the ball really well, and Gus Edwards and other guys are they got rid of Alex Collins is now on IR, so they're, you know, he was sort of a guy who liked to dance around a little bit. Now they got Gus Edwards who's you know, punches through the hole. They're attacking aggressively. I don't think that anyone in Baltimore believes that this is a sustainable thing that can carry them to the Super Bowl. I do think they believe that they can pile up some wins now, that they can put Joe Flacco in their back pocket if they need to, maybe bust him out against, let's say, the Chargers, if their offense struggles against a good defense, or even save him if you have to use him in the playoffs, you know, hit break glass in case of emergency and hope he morphs into Joe Montana again. I think they understand that I think John Harbaugh's probably gone either way. I don't know. Unless they make a run in the playoffs, I just don't think they're going to bring him back because he wants a long-term contract. Steve Bisciotti, you know, and Eric DaCosta, the new GM, might not want to give him that commitment, given the struggles. So it's a tricky spot. I think that they're going to roll with Lamar Jackson until he loses the game, but no, I don't think that they think it's sustainable.
All right, talking about openings with the coaches, and there's going to be a lot this offseason. We've heard about McDaniels and maybe interest in Green Bay, and for some unknown reason, assistants wanting to go with him there. Why is McDaniels such a hot candidate when you see younger guys? I know McDaniels isn't old, but younger guys who are innovative offensively and, you know, have worked with young quarterbacks and developed your young quarterbacks. Do you think that McDaniels is a top candidate still?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the reason that it's sort of like how teams will keep giving the players of talent a chance no matter what they do, right? Like Josh McDaniels can leave the Colts at the altar and say, well, he's ruined his coaching career. And then, you know, 6 months later, he's like, you know, the top candidate for the Green Bay job, clearly Josh McDaniels. I just think the work he's done with Tom Brady from an offensive perspective, it would translate so easily to Aaron Rodgers, just in terms of the age factor, you know, what he's been able to implement to create a, you know, to just like if when the Patriots don't have a great running game, Josh McDaniels has been able to supplement it with an accurate, smart, older quarterback who can make quick throws and get the ball to players in space. And that's really what the Packers needed for the last couple of years. I think he would transform Rodgers. I think he would limit the number of hits that Rodgers takes. The one reason why I think McDaniels gets bumped to the top of these lists as opposed to, you know, guys like Zach Taylor and Sean McVay's quarterback coach or Eric Bieniemy, the OC in Kansas City, is that McDaniels has head coaching experience. And I know that it flamed out very badly in Denver and that the end of his tenure there was not good, but he does have that experience. And, you know, I think there is a general belief around the league that if you can take Josh McDaniels with everything he's learned from New England and his offensive acumen, and you can put him in a spot where he doesn't have to run the personnel, everything about the organization from the get-go, and then he can just be involved in some of the decisions, and then he can be paired maybe like Seattle did with Pete Carroll and John Schneider, pair him with the GM from day one, that he would certainly be a more effective fit than he was in Denver. I'll tell you that, you know, that I mentioned this on the Pick Six podcast, but Jason Lockefort actually mentioned it. But, you know, if the Panthers job opens up, that'd be an interesting spot too, because, you know, David Tepper's thinking about maybe a wholesale change situation. Nick Caserio, Josh McDaniels in Charlotte, wouldn't be a terrible idea either.
Would you want McDaniels to work with a young quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like your kid.
Can you hear him? Sorry. Yeah,
no, it doesn't matter. I'm just kidding. All right.
Yeah, so I know.
You would want him working with a young quarterback. That's the kind of guy that you want? Someone who's only worked with Brady?
I mean, yes. I want the guy who helped turn Tom Brady into an unstoppable offensive juggernaut working with my son. Whether it's working with, I mean, he can work with him on his shouting numbers in the living room. But I mean, if he wants to work with him on being a quarterback, that'd be great too. Yeah. I think you want Josh McDaniels coming in. You know, I think that, I know he traded Jay Cutler, he had Kyle Orton putting up numbers. I mean, Tebow did some stuff.
Ran that one time.
He had one pass to Demaryius Thomas. I think that Josh McDaniels would be great at developing a quarterback. I think if Josh McDaniels got Cam Newton in his hands, that Cam Newton would have put up a monster year. And I think the same thing is true with Aaron Rodgers. Given the weapons around both of those guys, or even Baker Mayfield, I think any of those three spots, if Josh McDaniels should be a top candidate, I think if a team hired him, that they would have immediate success on the offensive side of the ball. And that if he brought in a good coaching staff with him and he had a good GM who was willing to work with him, that team would be extremely dangerous out of the gate.
Well, if you get Baker Mayfield, that's Tebow 2.0. All right, well.
No way, dude.
He sucks.
That is the worst opinion I've heard all morning.
Will. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
All right, Will Brinson, thank you so much. Writer, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. Thank you so much for the time. He just got out of there. He said, I don't want this anymore. So those hot takes are burning up the phone.
Can't no way to defense that.
There's no
Don't way. Have a defense for that attack.
Yeah, I do. First half, last game.
Second half was well. How did he do in the second half?
He threw the ball a lot.
351 yards after halftime, Fred. That's pretty good.
With
the defense knowing you're going to pass.
I bet you if you look at Eric Hipple's stats, that there were games where he threw for 300 and some odd yards.
I'm willing to bet Eric Hipple didn't throw for 351 yards.
How about Scott Mitchell?
He was horrible in Detroit.
Scott Mitchell
awful
was not. They went 12-4 one
oh,
year.
Oh, that's right. He was in Miami. He was bad. He got the money in Detroit. I have
yes.
my teams.
I can give you a bunch of people. I bet you that Browning.
Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback, Fred. He is.
No, he's not.
And he's going to be around for a while.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. Just like Jason Tatum when he falls off the map like he has been.
Sure.
All right. This is going to be a really bad day.
This is going to be awesome on about 8 different levels.
No, it's going to be terrible.
No, it's not.
But I insist on doing it. I've put it off as long as I can.
That was a pretty good idea that came from the other room that you shot down, too. We had a replacement idea for this.
Yeah, but
we shot it down.
It requires production. None of these bits are no good if there's no production.
Okay,
so, all right. So we're sitting around the room. Richie's got jury duty, and we're sitting around the room, and we're thinking about things to do. And this came up. I was doing the imitation of Mark Jamelli's dad. Mark Jamelli! And then so we started thinking about imitations, And so Bird and Nick are going to come in. It's going to be called Sports Hub Theater. And they're going to do it. And they can't, like, steal lines from a movie or give it away, which is going to be a huge challenge for them. And so they're going to come in.
Nick took offense at that last remark, by the way.
Well, yeah, Nick. Well, good, Nick. I'd like to talk to your teachers. All right. And so they will come in, and they will do their best to have us guess around the room who they are imitating. And when I told Bert it didn't have to be sports, he said, "My mind is now open."
Yeah, he said you expanded my mind or something like that.
Yeah, he said he expanded his mind. Wow. So if you're a fan of all things uncomfortable, be listening. First are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Sure and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are touching on Rich real quick. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a great idea. So, Bird, Jamelli wants Bird to live with him. You guys got that connection with Bernie and Phil. Each day, Bird stays over at Jamelli's apartment. Bernie and Phil donates a recliner to someone in need.
Well, they already gave it to someone.
I don't want Bird to live with Nicholas. He live with me. Look at Nick, your house could fit so many recliners.
Kelly's roast beef.
All right, so here's the deal, is that this is going to be cringy. But nonetheless, we were sitting around yesterday, Rich and I and Nick and Bird and their Mike and...
Wallach. I was there too, yeah.
And we're kind of kicking around an idea, and we came up with this.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Sports Hub Theater is now in session. I call loyal subjects Bird and young sick Nicholas to thy Sports Hub center stage.
All right, so in honor of the theater...
That was good.
It is. That's
good.
Probably the highlight.
Yeah. kind of what I was thinking myself.
Now, so what I understand is that Nick and Bird are both going to impersonate a celebrity. They cannot give any, like, kind of clues. It's sort of like playing charades. Like you can't give any clues. Now, Bird's going through his notes to make sure there's no clues. But by using their
voice... He shouldn't have notes.
I don't. What do I want? What am I going to do?
Not complicate this.
Nick, these aren't carved in stone.
I mean, does it really matter, Nick?
Come on.
All right. So, based on the impression that they do, the vocal impression, and on the content of what they say, we will play a game, and whoever can guess first, I guess, will feel good.
Get
about
the point.
Themselves.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
All right. So, should we start? Yeah. Who should we start with?
Let's start out with the Bird. You go first.
Okay, here's Bird doing his impression.
Playoffs? Don't talk to me about playoffs.
All right, you're quoting a famous quote, dude.
Were we just talking like this all time, Fred? Now I sound like Mass.
You just literally gave the guy's most famous quote.
That's what I'm supposed to do, right? No?
No. He was trying to impersonate Maz, but he doesn't know that it's from someone
Jim
else.
Jim Mora, actually.
No,
it
was
the first
person. No, I'm doing it for Jim Mora.
Oh, so you weren't impersonating Maz. You actually impersonated
like
the guy.
Off with his red, blotchy head.
I find it interesting. Mike had that ready to go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I can't do the whole song.
And we're off.
So, all right. Okay, see if you can guess. I'll be back.
Marty McFly. Oh, wait. Dr. Brown, right?
That was
Terminator 2.
No. Keep trying.
There's going to have to be pregnant pauses in this. Did I not explain 3 times on the air that you weren't allowed to use?
Yes. Yesterday in the meeting.
Yeah. Today on the air.
All of these things, yeah.
No quotes, no hints.
All right. Mark's son, go ahead.
Frankly, I don't care about the rest of the world.
You're not trying to do a voice.
Oh, well, sorry. Frankly, I don't care about the rest of the world. Obama kissed every other country's ass to our great detriment.
He did what to their great what?
Detriment.
I think it's detriment, but that's just me guessing. I could be wrong.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Now, are you doing President Trump?
No.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Intrigue. Intrigue.
All right. Okay. Continue. So detriment.
Yep.
But there was no kind of... You didn't change your voice or do anything like that.
He is a Boston radio personality or a former Boston radio personality. John Dennis.
He's already sickly. Let him die naturally.
Good call, Fred.
This was your idea.
No, it wasn't.
Rich's idea.
You could have said no.
I saved it for now. Bird not getting and you're not being able to say detriment are two highlights so far.
Yes, so far.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will allow two more of these. If you would like to yell at either of them, 617-779-0985. Well, it's good. You won't get to hear. If anyone would like to yell at them for not understanding anything.
Oh, please do.
All right. Bird, it's your chance.
Oh, Frederick, how are you today? Has anyone seen Bart? Maggie?
So you're again giving the characters of the show The Simpsons.
I screwed up again. Oh, silly me.
Feed him to the lions.
Joel, do you want to try it, this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with March.
Hey, I'm an animated woman with blue hair. I'm on a really long-running cartoon show.
I just wrote down quotes. That's my bad.
I told you specifically not to do that.
I know, but I was so into it.
How did it start?
That was this sad excuse for a man.
That one started okay until the Maggie and the Bart part. It sounded okay, right? That was Good morning, Frederick. That was a good start.
It's just charades. He pulls down his pants. The answer's penis. All right, Nick, go ahead.
Are you sure you just don't want to keep on doing Bird?
No, because you got it on your phone there. You're doing the whole thing. I mean, how would I not know the last one was John Dennis?
You're doing the whole thing. You had a whole thing going on.
I don't have somebody in mind.
You didn't do that? You didn't do any preparation?
During the show? I'm doing the twitchery.
In fairness, you do have to hit a button. All right, so go ahead. You've known for 24 hours you've had to do this. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe you thought John Dennis was just going to stump us for so long. He only needed one.
Hey, I like cats. It's my sister. Go ahead. Wait, yeah, that's right. It's over your head, Nick. All right, go ahead.
I got nothing. I'm sorry. I'm scrolling around trying to do two things right now. You do something. Do another one. Bonus Bird.
All right. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got to say, this could have been done so much better, but right now this is an epic fail.
Yeah, this sucks. do you understand that how simple this idea was?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good on paper, but I think in practice, I don't know.
No. Not good.
All right. Burn him alive!
Ready? This guy wants to yell at you, Nick, so if you could get Bird's headphones. Nick, go ahead, Mike. Nick has so many responsibilities. Go and you can talk to Nick.
Hey, Nick, this is hilarious. I mean, I don't understand how you guys didn't get this game. It's fairly simple.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Nick, why did you want to be in radio?
What? No, I get the game. I do. But I just can't think of anything. I didn't really do a lot of prep time. I didn't spend my day.
I don't think it would require a day. I think it would require a moment.
a moment. Okay, I apologize. I will do
that. I think the highlight though is your use of the word detriment. I think that was amazing.
Thank you.
Yes. Definitely had me laughing.
All right. One more with Bird.
Hello, Frederick, Michael, the Vulture. How are you today? Very dark and gloomy today. Hello, Wallach.
Harvey Firestein.
No. Think into the future.
In the future?
Yes. The future.
The future. I thought it was like I thought it was like a Belichick thing at first, and then it was a little bit of an accent.
Yeah.
John, go ahead.
I think I get it. I think they're both impersonating Sarge and just ruining the show.
The super meta bit.
Fred, join me on the dark side.
Is that is that Darth Vader?
Lord Sith, whatever his name is, that old guy.
He doesn't even know he's impersonating.
Go ahead. I'm not geek like that. It's the old guy with the robe.
Yeah. The Emperor?
That guy?
With his red blotchy head.
All right. Okay.
Tim, go ahead. Tim.
Is this more on number one?
Yep.
Put more on number two on the phone.
All right. There you go. All right. Melissa, go ahead.
I'm not even mad at Nick or Bird. I want to know who put these two idiots in charge of this game.
He's not here.
Expecting them to do well.
Well, the idea was they wouldn't do well, but the idea was that it would be at least coherent and somehow be able to come off. Well, I can't say I didn't warn you. Mike, go ahead.
Bird, you have notes. How are you unprepared? Can you read Bird's notes on the air, please?
It's just quotes from all the celebrities I could do.
He specifically said no quotes, Bird. It was like one of the two rules.
All right, so you didn't do your Shaq impression.
But, no.
Oh, man. Did you want to do a Shaq impression?
No, I'm good.
I have an impression for you guys. I can try to save the bit for you.
Okay.
Wow. Wah! Don't mess with my show! Oh, I made a poopy in my diaper! Oh, I'm a big baby!
Yeah, all right, you're doing Bertrand, obviously. All right, well, listen. Do you have the rest of his notes there?
Yeah. Well, Coach Green, he has written down, they are who we thought they were.
Which is a direct quote.
And we let him off the hook.
Yeah.
He wanted to do Uncle Fester? Uncle Fester.
Oh, really? Yeah. I used to do it. Hold on. Frederick! We have to go to the attic, and we're going to bend some cats and dogs in half. That's all I got.
Thumbs down.
Wait, so what are these notes, though?
What notes?
Oh, you wrote three parts dynamite with a nitroglycerin cap.
Yeah, that's one of his quotes. I didn't want to quote from Uncle Festa.
Oh, got it. So yes. That was an off-the-cuff Uncle Festa over there.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I still want to hear your Shaq.
Adam Jones, how are you doing today? Can't you dig it?
That's great.
No, it's pretty bad.
Tom, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, every time Bird's on the radio, it makes me wish I were listening to Sarge.
Oh, man. That is a big insult. Uh-huh. All right. Billy Jaffe is going to be in studio.
Quick bit. This
Thank
bit
God.
Or the magic or the Different Strokes 8 Ball, which
the
is
Different
better.
Strokes 8 Ball was okay. Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, I love that bit.
That was a great bit. All right. We will be right back. We'll have Billy Jaffe in studio.
Thatcher and Rich.
When you get
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.